A scripture for this evening is from Galatians 5, verses 16 through 25. Be guided by the Spirit, and you won't carry out your selfish desires. A person's selfish desires are set against the Spirit, and the Spirit is set against one's selfish desires. They are opposed to each other, so you shouldn't do whatever you want to do. But if you are being led by the Spirit, you aren't under the law. The actions that are produced by selfish motives are obvious, since they include sexual immorality, moral corruption, doing whatever feels good, idolatry, drug use and casting spells, hate, fighting, obsession, losing your temper, competitive, opposition, conflict, selfishness, group rivalry, jealousy, drunkenness, partying, and other things like that. I warn you, as I have already warned you, that those who do these kinds of things won't inherit God's kingdom. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. There is no law against things like this. Those who belong to Christ Jesus have crucified the self with its passions and its desires. If we live by the Spirit, let's follow the Spirit. Since we are on the tail end of Easter, after celebrating just a few weeks ago together, it's appropriate, I think, now to discuss what this new life in Christ is supposed to look like. After the resurrection of Jesus, the church in Galatia was a church like ours. Like us, they were trying to figure out how to live like Christians after Jesus died and was raised. We've been living with this question for a couple thousand years now, and I'm not sure we've got it all figured out. The Galatians, too, were struggling, we know. Especially since included in our scripture that we just read is a long list of things that the writer Paul wants to make sure that the people stay away from. Selfishness, hate, jealousy, and things like that. Then, after that, there is another list, but this one is full of things that the people of God should be like, or will be like, if they live with the guidance of the Spirit. Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. These are the fruit of the Spirit, as they're called in the Scripture. They're things that flow out of the Spirit of God that's alive and working within us. During the season of Lent, many of us took assessments trying to figure out which spiritual gifts we have. Spiritual gifts are given by God to each person individually and differently. Each of us is given a gift or gifts by the Spirit to be used to serve God. But we don't all have the same gifts. The fruit of the Spirit are different. It's easy to confuse the fruit and the gifts of the Spirit. The fruit of the Spirit are these attributes of Christ that are given to each of us when the Spirit is alive and at work in our lives. The fruit of the Spirit should be present in every Christian. In our scripture, Paul tells us to be guided by the Spirit, live by and walk by the Spirit. And when we do, the fruit of the Spirit of Christ will be visible in us. In our scripture today, it seems as though we have a sort of Christian list of do's and don'ts. Though I think our scripture today is more than a list of do's and don'ts, sometimes we maybe do need those reminders about what is really not good for us as Christians. There was a group of little kids at a camp one summer, and one of the volunteers was leading a discussion on the purpose that God had for everything that God created. They all went around and began to find good reasons for everything, for clouds and trees and rocks and rivers and animals, and just about everything else in creation. Finally, one of the kids asked, if God had a good reason to create everything, then why did God create poison ivy? With the sheer volume of questions that kids ask, we can't be expected to have a good answer to all of them, I don't think. And this was a good one. The camp counselor sort of paused, and as she struggled to come up with an answer, one of the other kids rescued her and answered for her. He said, "The reason that God made poison ivy is because God wanted us to know that there are just certain things that we really just need to keep our cotton-picking hands off of." We may need this reminder from Paul. But again, our scripture today is more, it's more than a list of do's and don'ts. The Bible isn't primarily a book of rules. It's a story. It's a story about God and God's relationship with us and the love he has for the world. The church's history of being all about following the rules is kind of, I think, one of the reasons that people are tired of church. Are we just a place that tells people what we should and shouldn't do? The church is more than that. And the scripture today is teaching us more than that too. It's not just saying to do this and don't do that. What we're learning here is that what happens when we walk in the guidance of the Spirit is we won't fall into that list of don'ts. And when we walk in the guidance of the Spirit, we will bear fruit. When we live with the Spirit of God alive in us, the fruit of the Spirit will be visible in us. Love, joy, peace, kindness will show forth. There's a funny little Christian saying you might see on bumper stickers or something. It says that God wants spiritual fruit, not religious nuts. There was a church that posted this on their front sign a while back, Madison Avenue Baptist Church in New York, and they got some attention for it. After the attention that they got, there was an article written about it, and one true thing that the pastor said was, sometimes the church needs to just step back and laugh at itself. We need to remind ourselves that what the Christian life is about, exactly. We can become so religiously zealous that we forget who it is we're following, and maybe we leave the ways of Jesus behind. But we're to live by the Spirit, we're to walk by the Spirit of God. With all that's been going on in our world lately, a friend of mine posted something online this week as a reminder to us Christians to stop and to pray before saying something to someone or saying anything online. First, take a breath, find a quiet room, and go to God in prayer, he said. Not everything we think needs to be spoken out loud or have a permanent place on the internet. And not everything we think is going to come from God or even if we call ourselves Christians. We have to go to God and pray for the Spirit's leading. In the book of Psalms, the very first psalm reminds us that with the wicked, they are like chaff, like waste, blowing in the wind. There are times when I've felt blown about by the wind, when I hadn't sunk my feet down next to God. But it's different for those who stick with God. The psalmist says, "Happy are those who do not follow the advice of the wicked, but delight themselves in the ways of the Lord, for they are like trees planted near streams of water. They yield their fruit in its season, and their leaves do not wither." Planting oneself in the church is not the same as living in the Spirit or planting oneself next to God. But more often than not, if you go looking to find God and to draw close to the Spirit of God, the church is a good place to start. You'll find God, and when you find God, you'll find people like you all, people with love and joy, patience and kindness to give. And you'll begin to learn and to grow in the Spirit and to be people of love and joy and kindness. There's a lot of unrest in our world right now. We could use a little love, a joy, and a little peace, don't you think? There was a woman who spent the first few months after her college graduation in a foreign country doing a teaching internship. She spent most nights alone, and it was almost unbearable. She would sometimes gather with some of her work colleagues to have a meal, but the conversation was stale and superficial. Finally, she ventured out beyond her apartment to the local church. That first time, she slipped in with little contact with anybody besides the greeter at the front door. She heard some singing and some preaching, and she slipped out to avoid any unnecessary small talk. The second time she visited the church, the greeter at the front door remembered her, and his kindness startled her, bringing tears to her eyes. The third time she visited, she didn't duck out during that last song, and she was invited to Sunday dinner. Pretty soon, the effect of that loving congregation and their obvious connection to Jesus Christ would come to change her and change about every aspect of her life. We have to plant ourselves next to the living God, and when we do, our lives will begin to change. Last week, I was able to get away to a pastor's retreat, to a beautiful retreat center. It was a perfect 4 or so days of time with God. One of the days we spent a whole 24 hours in silence. I only cheated once or twice. My soul needed it. Like a tree needs water, I needed to take that time to plant myself next to God. Sometimes our lives are so busy, it's hard to leave space and time for the Spirit to work in our lives. And even more, it's hard to take time to be attentive to the Spirit. If we are to live and walk by the Spirit of God, though, it takes being attentive to the Spirit of God and the world around us. It takes slowing down and listening. When you plant, as you probably know, when you plant any fruit tree, it doesn't automatically produce fruit. It takes time. It takes time before good, ripe fruit begins to appear. When we have the Spirit within us, it takes time. We have to nourish the work of the Spirit within us. And when we do, when we plant ourselves next to God, that fruit will begin to appear. Good and ripe for the world to receive. This week, I talked with Bob Kerr for a little bit, and he told me a story about a friend of his. He spoke about a lady named Mildred Wilson. She's a cousin of Billy Graham, I guess. Bob described that every time she greets you in the love of Christ, she grabs your face and she kisses you on the lips and says, "I love you." Not many people but my grandma could get away with that. But Bob says when she does that and she says, "I love you," you believe her. You meet just a couple people like that in your lifetime. Maybe you have someone in mind. Someone that just love shines from their face. You only get that way through a lifetime of living life with God. When we live by the Spirit, when we're guided by the Spirit, love, joy, peace will follow. And the world certainly could use a little love and joy and peace, don't you think? So people of God, let us walk by the Spirit. Let us live by the Spirit of God, planting ourselves there next to God, much like a tree planted near a stream of water. Amen.